Shout out to my girl Carrie in London.
Your tea about to be popping. The queen about to be popping. Fit times for your drive from London. Strap in, it's time for thunder.
Carrie and Tommy about to have a jolly good time.
Carrie and Tommy bring big fun to your ears every day. And Chemist Warehouse bring great savings every day. The Chemist Warehouse half price sale is on now. Get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price. Terms and conditions apply. Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Wednesday afternoon. How are we, guys?
Ooh, a big Wednesday afternoon.
Big Wednesday afternoon. Is it still Star Wars Day? Or was that?
No, thank God.
Or was that?
And it's not hump day. It's time game day because it's $7,000 up for grabs.
$7,000 in just 5 seconds of work, obviously.
How did we get to this point in time? 5 seconds time.
Yeah. I'm sure whether that was a trick question or not.
No, it wasn't. I just realised that we've been playing this fun little game for a few years now. It hasn't gone off and now it's worth, it was just, I think at first we offered someone $100, didn't we?
It's $100 every week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, what value do you think it will go off? Are you feeling good today?
I think it'll go.
Don't bother today.
No, I reckon it'll go for years. It'll be that thing that we can't get to go off, and then we'll be fired. And on that final day, we'll say you can't take us off air until we've given away the time game money.
Yes, and it's up to $4 million, and we're held apart using only science. Carrie's 4,000 years old, and we're just held together by spare parts. Huge show. Stay with us, including Time Game coming up very soon.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app, it's Carrie and Tommy for your drive home the Sabo.
Because you are still in beautiful London. Is that what you call it? Beautiful London? Lovely
awesome,
London.
Awesome, lovely London. It's the sun is amazing at the moment. Summer in London is incredible.
What about winter?
I can imagine winter is very cold and dark.
Now, as you headed off, the team bundled our coins together and we got you a present. We got you a voucher for Ed Sheeran's fantastic restaurant, Birdie Blossoms.
Yes, we went last week. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
Delicious. Absolutely amazing food.
Yeah. Anything else happened that you need to tell us about?
No.
No.
It was our first date night. We had a wonderful time, just the two of us. We got to finish a conversation, which hasn't happened when traveling in small spaces with three children.
You guys
for the last 5 weeks.
Kids together, and that was your first date. Wow, someone gets down to business quick.
First date while away. We had 2 hours together, but we did get home in time to be in bed by 8 p.m., so it was a win-win all round.
Wow. Wow. No, is there just any chats? Like, did you have any chats or anything? Is there anything, any interactions with maybe, I don't know, like the wait staff or, you know, anything like that?
They were gorgeous. They were lovely.
Yeah.
Yes. What are you getting at?
It's just you mentioned off air the other day, and I thought maybe we should mention it on air. You mentioned that you tried to let the wait staff know that.
No, oh my God. If you, I didn't do what you're going to say I did. There was more to the story that you didn't hear.
Mate, you tried to let the wait staff know that, hi, me Carrie, and me know the owner, Ed Sheeran. Because me famous on radio. Me famous on TV. Me famous on radio. Me Australia. Me Carrie.
I did not.
And me know Ed, your boss. Me know.
Owner.
Me know.
This place.
Me know your boss-o.
Can you stop talking like
okay?
that? It's weird.
The man who pay you money.
Oh, God.
Me know.
Okay, can you stop? No, I didn't just out of nowhere say I know Ed Sheeran.
No.
I said I was paying and it was a bit confusing because I thought I was paying with a gift card that you'd given me until I realised that you'd transferred money because you couldn't get a gift card. Mm. But in the confusion of that, I said my team in Australia got me a gift card and then I said that I'm a radio announcer. And because I then wanted to explain why I'd come to the restaurant, I said, and we, I know Ed from interviewing him. And then I said, anyway, so I'm just here trying to pay the, and he just said, I'm not the manager. I don't know anything about that.
Did he think you were trying to get a freebie?
I think he might.
Yeah. Just so you
and
know.
I really wasn't. I actually wasn't. I was just confused whether I was paying with a gift card or paying with
Imagine if it got to the point where he said, you know, it was just I know Ed. And he said, okay, well, if you want to sort that out with Ed, you call him. And you would have to say, do you have his number? Because me no have his number. I don't reckon because although this is desperate, what else? Sad, pathetic. There's a lot of things. I don't reckon you are the only one. Give us a call, 131060. Whenever you dropped a name to get something free, definitely for free, and had it go for you. Give us a call.
I didn't get it for free.
No, but you tried. Give us a call.
Well, actually, I did because you guys paid.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Wednesday afternoon on 131060. Who did you pretend to know?
I didn't pretend to know someone. I do know them. And I didn't drop it to get free stuff. I just happened to mention when I was at Ed Sheeran's restaurant that I knew Ed Sheeran because
again.
I was a radio host in Australia. Only because I wasn't sure how to use the voucher that you'd got me that in the end you hadn't got me. You just transferred money. But it was all very confusing and it was used appropriately. I didn't just walk through the restaurant going, hey, guys, I know Ed Sheeran. I know Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, you waited till the bill was there. Did it?
And the guy
do you
gave
think,
me nothing.
If you don't
he
have
could
some,
not have cared. Less.
If you don't have someone's phone number, do you know them?
No.
You know them. You know them. Yeah. So you know a lot of people whose numbers you don't have.
Carrie, all the people that have chatted to you on the project and this show over the years, do they know you?
Well, hold on. Know me. Do they know me? It's different.
Gosh.
Do I know Ed Sheeran? I've interviewed Ed Sheeran about 10 to 15 times.
That's number swapping time.
Yeah.
But either way, it means I know him. I'm not claiming to be his friend.
If he wanted to, he could get his number to you, I reckon.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh, my God, guys, I'm not asking for me to sit down with him and have dinner.
No, you just want a free meal at his restaurant.
Yeah, you don't have dinner.
Ed, I'm
him.
Available if you want to catch up for dinner.
Yeah. Oh, is that why? Because you couldn't get an invite to his house, so you went to his restaurant hoping you'd turn up?
No, you got me a voucher to go to his restaurant.
Yeah,
and when they couldn't find the voucher, I was trying to explain where the voucher had come from.
You said, get us Ed's number, and we said he doesn't want to pass it on. And you said, well, get us the next best thing, a booking at his restaurant, please.
I have tried to ask for his number.
Get a Coden.
How's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Have you pretended to know someone to get something?
Not know someone. So I work for plumbing supplies and I've worked for them for a while.
Yeah.
And we go into different stores that actually have full on like maybe 10 to 15 trucks in the line every morning.
Yeah.
And they believe that I'm Coden Harris. So I'm the boss of the company. They let me straight through. Coffees are made.
And so do they let you to the front?
Yeah, still to today. I've been doing it for like a year. And they still think I'm the boss of this company. They're like, oh, hey, mate, how's the company going? I'm like, yeah, good.
Oh, it'd be better with a coffee.
And my boss said, he's found out. And he goes, mate, if they believe you, he goes, take the credit.
That's great. So next
you have
time
just given full details, Coden, about where you work.
That's good. That's good. Because next time you see Ed, do you reckon he'll say, no, if people believe we're friends, you just go with it.
Oh, stop it. Don't be mean.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And coming up before 4 o'clock, because I am quite ashamed to say that I have absolutely ruined someone's special day. And I'll tell you about that later. But now let's do this.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
Time Game Jackpots Weekly.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
When exactly 5 seconds is up. This week, the jackpot is up to...
$7,000, mate.
Woo! Carrie and Tommy's Time Game.
Oh, yeah. Good luck getting through. The phones are going into meltdown. If you want to try, you like anyway, 131060 is the number. $7,000 on the line. We do it next.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app, it's Carrie and Tommy if you drive home this afternoon.
Time, bobine, banana, banana, bobine, bee, bye, mobine. Time game. Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Great work there from Tracy on the vocals. Bickers, who do you want to go to?
I reckon let's start with Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron, $7,000 up for grabs.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
How do you go when you play along, Aaron? Do you hit the five on the knocker?
Look, I've been practicing like this afternoon and I've been getting like within a few milliseconds of the time.
Oh,
so
God.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Aaron, I'm going to ask you a personal question, so I hope it's not too invasive. Are you looking at the stopwatch and looking at the numbers tick over as you play?
No, I'm closing my eyes. So
oh my
I'm
gosh.
Not watching.
This could be good.
That.
Oh.
Hope so.
Ezzy, this could be good. Are you ready to play?
Ready to go.
Start.
Bickers. I thought it felt pretty good. I'll be honest. Sometimes I don't concentrate during the first one of the time game because I'm so excited to be playing it. And I
Is
think
what
back
happened then?
What we've built. And that's what happened then.
Yeah,
what we've built. And it's so great. It's taken us a long time. And usually that takes me about 5 seconds to do that thinking. And then I'm snapped back into the room by the stop. Oh. So I'm not sure. How did you think it went?
I normally, to be honest, I wasn't concentrating.
Erin, how do you reckon you went?
But Erin, the problem is I look at Jesse. Oh, sorry. I look at our ferret for guidance. And our ferret doesn't have that excited little ferrety look that he can often get if we're close.
You know, what's funny about him today, Bickers, and a bit cute, and Erin, you might like this as well, he's got wax in his hair.
He dressed up for the
holding
occasion.
Him down?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to get the lid off as well, no opposable thumbs. He's working at it for ages.
How did Erin go, ferret?
5.
Yeah.
Point.
Oh.
2-5.
Erin. Not bad. Thanks, Ez.
Try again another day, Ez.
G'day, George.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah, living the dream. How would you describe in 2 words your relationship with time?
Pretty terrible, but hopefully first try, I'll win this.
I like you, George.
It's not best, 2 words best, either.
Oh, no. Best of luck. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Start.
Stop.
Felt long to me, George. How'd it feel to you, Bickers? Or were you thinking
See,
about
I'm
everything
in London
we built?
And, no, I was thinking that was mean to George. Pretty terrible, these 2 words. It was just the extra words that made it not two.
Yeah.
But also, I'm in London. Remember, my time here is different to your time. Well, like as in I get it on delay.
Oh, because you're in pounds? Is that why?
No. Miles.
When I think it's 5 seconds, you say to me, that was about 7. So I'm just terrible at this game from afar.
So what did you think of George then? Because if you think it's terrible, maybe it's
George
good.
George is fabulous. I think George did very well.
What a crock of crap. How did he go?
5.
Oh, you all.
Point.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
4-6.
Oh, not bad, Georgie.
Sorry, George. Pretty terrible. Josie.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Josie.
I'm really well. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Are you ready to play the time game?
I am.
We're going to pass you over to Jesse. He's going to say start. You say stop right on 5 seconds, Josie, and $7,000 is yours.
I know. My heart's just racing here.
Okay. Take a deep breath. Passing you over to Jesse now.
Start.
Stop.
Oh. I mean that.
Oh,
if that was Josie,
his whiskers, he played with his whiskers.
Josie, if we were going on my internal waters, that is right on for me.
Yeah, felt you sent very good.
You sent a shiver up my spine, and I almost felt a bead of sweat go down my back and almost down to my butt crack, Josie. What all this means, we'll find out. Jesse, how did Josie go?
4.64.
Oh, not bad. Not bad. G'day, Alicia.
Should we go? Yeah, go. To
Hello.
Hey, you're a bundle of energy. Alicia, how's your day been?
I'm pumped. I just got through. I've tried for weeks.
Yeah,
I'm
great.
Pumped already.
Hey, we're pumped to have you. What's the secret? You've been listening for a while. What do you think the secret is?
I don't know. I keep doing one Mississippi, two Mississippi. So we'll find out if that's a secret.
It's controversial because some people do cat and dog.
Oh, come try that one.
Sorry, didn't mean to throw a curveball at you.
Stick to your game.
You ready, Alicia?
Harry? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Start.
Ready? Start.
Oh.
stop.
Ooh. Alicia, do you have a second set of hands helping you there?
No, why?
Oh, it sounded like someone. It sounds like someone. I mean, I don't know if it'd help. I guess you've got five. Yeah, having 20 fingers would help. Alicia, it felt pretty good. How'd you feel?
Oh, no, I'm just nervous, mate.
No, you'll be right. You'll be right, Jesse. How did Alicia go?
6.5.
Oh, jeez. I see you next week.
See you next week. Up to 7,100 next week. Carrie
and Tommy. On your radios and the listener app, it's Carrie and Tommy for your drive home this afternoon.
Because you're a good person.
I hope. I try.
Yeah. I reckon you believe in your heart of hearts that you're a good person, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think you're a fantastic person. I think I'm a good person, but boy, you don't think so.
I mean, do you believe in your heart of hearts?
I reckon I try.
No, you are. You're a very good person. I'm joking. You are a very good person. Some areas where you could lift your game, but you know, in general, you're a very good person.
I had an absolute doozy this week. You know
with who and where and what and how. Give me the details.
You know.
Did it involve a woman?
It does involve a woman, but as a friend, not romantically at all. Okay. My swim coach, Chloe.
Yeah.
Also.
She's lovely. She's a good person.
She is an amazing person. We swam once this week and then the next day we... We swam as well, but this time she was just timing, doing my times. So she was sitting on the beach doing my times. And then I came in and I was freezing because the water was freezing and I was shaking. And she said, hey, do you want to get a coffee? And I said, oh, no, I'm all right. I think I'm just going to jump in the steam room. And she said, oh, well, I'm going to get a coffee. And I said, oh, well, if you're going to get a coffee, of course, let's get a coffee. And I said, I'll just quickly get changed.
Just hate confrontation. Hates to say no when you didn't actually want the coffee.
Oh, mate.
Yes. He's a good guy.
Mate, you wait. And so then I get changed and I come out of the change room and Chloe has bought two coffees but also a brownie, right? And she said, do you want some cake? And
you don't like sweets.
I was so confused. It was also like, you know, it was like 10:30 in the morning. And I, not only did I say no, I went, no. Like, what? Why would I? No.
You loser.
Yeah.
Loser who holds the record for the most channel questions. No, I don't want a brownie.
No, thanks. Go on, you need to look after yourself.
I'm training.
I'm giving nutrition tips to the best endurance swimmer in the world. And then anyway, so Chloe said, okay, well, I'll have it. And she ate the cake. And then we had our coffee and I went, anyway, great to see you. Thanks for today. And I went off and went into the steam room. And then later in the day, I looked at our WhatsApp group for our relay swim from the UK to Belgium. And Chloe had sent a message to the group. It was a photo of me finishing my first qualifying swim, and saying, congratulations, Tommy made his first qualifying swim, everyone. And people started wishing me congratulations. And then one of the blokes said, and on his birthday too, awesome stuff, birthday boy. And that's when Chloe wrote back, it's not Tommy's birthday. You've got the wrong birthday person. It's my birthday.
Oh!
And I rang her and I'm like, oh my God, it's your birthday.
Oh, but you're not meant to know that. It's a new friendship.
This is what I said.
No,
I said, wait,
oh, no.
Wait. I
oh,
said,
no.
I
and
said,
you didn't want a brownie either.
I said, you
eat your birthday cake on your own.
A cake on her own.
I said, you should have told me. And she said, you can't tell people on the day. That's so sad. That's why I leave hints the week before. And
oh,
I'm like,
no.
Oh, you told me last week. And then I just flash back.
What did she say the week before?
It's my birthday next week. Which could be read anyway. And then I flash back to all the moments. Like, get it, do you want a coffee? And I was like, no. Well, I'm going to get a coffee. Okay, I guess I get a coffee. And yeah, the brownie, do you want some cake?
First of all, just say when it's your birthday, people. Too many people to remember. Once upon a time, we had a birthday calendar behind the bathroom door on the wall, and it was very helpful. And you could see every morning when you're on the shitter whose birthday it was today. Because we don't have that anymore, it's hard to keep it all up here. If you're not on Facebook, it's hard. So I don't think forgotten birthdays are a problem.
Well, and with how regular you are, you get reminders of birthdays six times a day. So. Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, that is where you're at for your Wednesday afternoon.
Hey, because this is a very quick one for you.
Yeah.
In one of my stand-up shows, I talked about how one of the biggest problems in the world is 10% too much toppings on tacos, right? They're always over full when you eat them at restaurants. And so today I've been sent from a bunch of people this picture of a new invention. And it's great.
Oh, I saw this.
Isn't it incredible?
It's the best.
Because you'll love it. It is, so it's a guy eating a taco, right? Mm-hmm. And then underneath his taco, he has a funnel. And then the funnel goes down into a waiting taco at the bottom. So as his taco overflows into the funnel, it fills up the next taco.
Amazing.
Good stuff, everybody.
Also, you can tip your margarita down it and drink it.
A margarita bomb. Aren't they called beer bongs? Why is everyone looking at me weird?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
I was confused as to why Carrie was tipping her margarita into her taco.
Yes, sorry.
No, I mean tip it down the funnel.
Yes.
Just bring the margarita.
Yeah.
My fun night's out.
I don't know how three different people were on
funnel margarita.
Four different pages. Hey, up next, a story about my exes. Oh, God.
It's Carrie.
Break out the funnel.
Carrie and Tommy.
On your radios and the listener app for your Wednesday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, Bickers, you're a Camila Cabello fan, right?
Of course.
Yeah, isn't she the best? I was listening to her new tune, Bam Bam. Great song. Yeah, what happened?
Yep. That one.
Yeah, and that's the first lyrics of the song, right? And it hooked me from the start because, hang on, have listen to the lyrics one more time. You said you hated the ocean, but you're surfing now. And it made me think of a lot of exes of mine seem to take up things that I liked and they hated, and then as soon as we break up, they take up the thing. Do you know what I mean?
So you're saying she's just, in that song, she's saying when they were together, she'd be like, no, I want to go in the ocean. I'm not into that. And all of a sudden now you've broken up and she's surfing all the time. And you're like, but I thought you hated the ocean.
Yes.
You're saying with your exes, they say something like, oh, no, I don't like, I'm just trying to think of examples that were appropriate, but I don't like certain things.
And now I'm really into that.
Give me an actual example.
So I've got three for you. And this is, I'll give you the three examples and then I want to discuss the possible reasons at the end.
Because I've got an example for you too. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. So give me yours.
So I had an ex who hated the footy, would never want to come to the footy, and that was fine, right? That was actually not a problem. But then months after we broke up, she posted a photo of her wearing my football team scarf saying, I'm converted. I had an ex that hated running, right? Again, it wasn't a problem. And I was running a lot at the time. And then when we broke up, she posted a post and it said, I can't believe I haven't discovered running until now. I've never felt.
I feel like these are just women wanting to say, stick it up to you.
Well, this is the theory. I feel like. This is the theory I wanted to get to. She said, I've never felt so free.
that's just her meaning without you weighing her down.
I have one more, but I feel like it's not necessary. I wanted to chat about the reasons behind it. Do you think people are genuinely getting into things they used to hate, or is this a move? Because up until that song, I never thought that it was deliberate and targeted, or is it just by chance? I happen to have a few people who have gone, you know what? He was a jerk, but God, his hobbies are better than I thought when I was with him.
I think it's a mix of both. It's quite possible to learn to like to grow to like something that you didn't like before. So I think that is a chance. In your case, I do feel like it's the stuff to you. How long after?
Pretty soon. It was pretty soon.
Is it a way to get back together?
Well, one, I visited an ex I went through a phase of loving to play chess. And then I visited an ex and we were like, and she never hated chess, never. I asked to play. We played one time. And then I went to drop some stuff around to her house and she had a big ass chessboard sitting on the table. And I said, what's that? And she said, oh, my God, I've just discovered chess. And I was like, how? It's been 2 weeks.
Oh, that's, again, this is, I mean, I'm not going to speak on their behalf, but I feel like these are all a bit too connected. I think, like, if it was years later and they discovered a love for chess, I think it's different. I think this is all to do with their relationship with you.
So what was you,
it's deeper.
You said you had an example. What was your example?
Well, I dated a guy when I was much younger who was a cyclist, right?
Yes.
Amazing cyclist, really good. But he'd get up every morning at like 4:30 to cycle.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole time we were together, it would mean weekends, he'd have to go and cycle with his mates. And I was always like, oh, can't we just have a sleep in together, you know?
Of course.
But he couldn't give it up because it was very, very, very important to him.
Yeah.
And then we broke up and he started dating someone else and he stopped cycling.
Oh.
Weekends together, didn't
they? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yes.
It's the yes. Yeah, same. Yeah.
They're
anyway,
different.
Aunt X is the worst. Yeah. No, 131060, I would love to know, have you done this? Have you?
Yeah, is it a ploy?
Is it
or
a
is
ploy?
It a genuine, you've just discovered that you
yes.
do love surfing and now, even though you
yeah.
hated the ocean.
And so I'll take calls from both. If you quite genuinely actually just then took up something that you said you hated to your ex, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you've done this as part of a ploy, give us a call, 131060.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Happy Wednesday afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And on 131060, did your ex take up one of your hobbies?
Yeah, I was listening to Camila Cabello's new tune.
Said you hated the ocean, but you're surfing now.
And I thought, that's happened in my life before. Not about surfing. But
quite often, it appears.
Quite often, yeah. Things that I loved doing and my, at the time, girlfriend hated. Then as soon as we broke up, she loved and started posting about. Naomi, has this happened to you?
It did. My boyfriend, well, we're back together now, but when he decided to break up with me and go on a holiday with somebody else, I decided to go overseas and skydive, which he asked me to do a million times with him and I wasn't interested.
and it was, okay, here's what Tommy wants to know, Naomi. Was it all of a sudden you discovered a love for skydiving or was it a real...
I don't think I'll do it again, but it was more just a screw you.
But
you have fun,
yeah.
I'm going to go do what you wanted me to do.
But are you not doing it again because you're back together?
I'd probably do it again, but not in a hurry.
Okay.
Not if you ask me to.
What about you? Also, I've just thought many people would wonder what it would be like dating you, Tommy, and you've just explained it. So it's running, footy and chess. Sounds so fun, you know.
Well, I'm over all those things now. It's swimming at the moment.
Oh, swimming. Mm. Oh, God. Mm.
A solo Again. Sport.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. No
Angie. Angie, what did you get into once you
so
broke up with your partner?
Actually had the complete opposite happen to me. So at the time we were together, my best friend moved to Melbourne. I asked him, like, would you like to fly down to Melbourne with me, come visit her? We'll do, like, some fun things in the city. He said, no, I never want to fly. Not even a month after we broke up, he flew to Melbourne. And now he is with the girl that he met. He is now married to her.
You mean, like, he wasn't the pilot?
No.
Great.
The girl he met in Melbourne?
Yeah, the girl he met at the zoo.
Oh,
he met her at the zoo.
Why was he going to the
That's
zoo by himself?
An interesting place to meet someone, isn't it? On your own at the zoo.
I said, was she in the cage?
Oh, Angie, row. Good on you, Ange. G'day, Natasha.
Hey.
Have you done this? Have you taken up something to spite an ex, or are you on the other way?
No. Okay. So I got my driver's license quite late, but I had been riding motorbikes since I was 16, and I rode motorbikes all the time, and every guy I dated just hated that. Like, they hated the fact that I rode motorbikes. But three exes in a row all ended up becoming motorcyclists after we broke up.
And did they post about it? Like,
one of them actually went away, like, for 6 months in South America and rode all around South America.
Do you think, Natasha, there was something going on where because they couldn't do it, the fact that you could do it, it was like emasculating for them, right? And so then when
I've
you were no longer...
No,
You don't have to worry about that. It's their problem, not yours, that you're an absolute machine. And then when you broke up, they were like, oh, it did look fun. And so when they finally learned, like, I feel like it says more about them than anything about you. I think, yeah, that's my psychoanalysis.
Did you ride them round as they sat side saddle on the back?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't ever take anyone on the back.
Oh, why?
I'm pretty small. Oh, okay. I'm 45 kilos. So having somebody who's obviously going to be heavier than me on the back, I just wasn't ever confident doing that.
You sound good on you, Tash. Thank you.
What about Adriana? Adriana, talk to us. What's your ex into now that they weren't into when they were with you?
Oh, so my ex was a massive, massive drinker. And I used to not drink just so he wouldn't. And once we broke up, I started drinking and posting all about going out every single night just in spite of him. So I knew he could see that I was out drinking, and I did actually like alcohol. It was just for stopping drinking.
And did that make him get in touch with you and say anything?
No, he did message a few of my friends, like curious who I was going out with exactly and wanting to know. But apart from that, no, I think he definitely saw me posting it in spite of him. Just, you know, I'm drinking now. It was only because of you.
So do we think, Tommy, has this answered your question? Do you think from your exes it was a ploy, or do you think they've all suddenly just discovered a love of all these activities you do?
It is very coincidental. But I don't.
And is it possible to ever find a love for chess, you know?
What? Chess. Sorry, I thought you said Jess. And I was like, Jesse? Jesse's got
so hurtful.
Yes.
No, chess.
I don't know. I mean, if we're talking chess, there's always porn.
Gary and Tommy. Gary and Tommy.
That's my mate.
Gary and Tommy, for your drive home this afternoon, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Half price sale is on now. Get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price. Terms and conditions apply. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Half price, but what if you know Ed?
Oh.
Get more.
He loves his vitamins.
Oh, loves his vitamins. Loves his cosmetics.
I'm making straight wild from his best claims mate. That are not true. But
if there's one person that would know, it'd be you.
And then if he knew he could get half price at Chemist Warehouse, he would rush back to Australia and rush in there.
Shop in store online, or you can get it home delivered. How fantastic, Vic, is getting to Chemist Warehouse. Hey, what is coming up next?
Up next, we have a guest on the show, and I've been told something by my partner, Chris, about this guest that we need to bring up with him.
Is this the lying?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Great.
It's Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
This is a fantastic new podcast that is out, How Taste Changed the World. Adam Liao takes listeners on this adventure as he investigates the science and history of food and our tastes, our five tastes, sweet, bitter, salty, sour, and umami. This is incredible. You know how much the world is obsessed with salt, is obsessed with sweet-tasting things. Why? Well, Adam Liao joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
What a really fascinating way to look at food.
You know, it started off very simply as just a way to help people cook easier and more simply. But then when we started to talk about, like, the five tastes, because we think, like, taste is this big kind of world full of things, but we only taste five things, salty, sweet, sour, bitter, and umami. And so we just started the podcast to kind of help people understand that so they could cook more easily. But then we spoke to scientists and chefs like Yotamoto Lengi and Dan Barber and Kenji Lopez-Alt, and it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger because there were so many things that were dependent on those five tastes.
Now, I'm going to probably sound incredibly dumb here, but I had no idea umami is one of the five tastes, or really what it is. Adam, I've only really heard about it more recently, I think because we were doing a mushroom campaign or something and it had umami flavor, and then I was like, what's umami? So what is that?
Well, nobody has to feel bad about not knowing what umami is, because we only discovered the taste bud, the taste receptor for that, in 2002. So when we were at school, it was not a thing. So it's very recent, but it is actually, so when you get a pack of 2-minute noodles and you open up that little sachet that's inside, if you stick your finger in that and put that in your mouth, That's what delicious. Umami tastes like. It's savoriness. It's delicious. Like, in Japanese, umami just literally means deliciousness. Like, that's what it is. But it is actually, on a, like a biological level, it's the secret to cooking. It really is. I talk about it a lot in all the shows I do because it is so important. But we create it through frying things. It's the reason why we grill a steak rather than boiling a steak. And it's the reason why we like, you know, red wine with food. And it's the reason why we like, you know, to add fermented things to the food that we eat, is just to get more umami into it.
And so
that's not like, so when I taste the sachet thing you're talking about, I assume it's either salt or like a stocky kind of flavor. That's
yeah,
not
umami. Is
umami.
Stock, essentially. Yeah, oh, umami is right. So if the difference between stock and water is umami. So it
yeah,
is literally,
right. Okay.
You know, so if you boil, say, for example, you boil something in wine, you get coq au vin. You boil something in grape juice that hasn't been fermented, that has no umami in it, and you get something very, very gross.
Adam, you might be able to help me with a question that I just ruminated on the other night with a friend. Because we're talking about when people lose their taste for COVID.
Yes.
When people lose their taste, do they still feel chili stuff as hot on their tongue?
Chili is not a taste.
Oh my God.
Like, we only taste those five things. Like, everything else is not a taste. So the chili is actually more similar to touch, and it works on nociceptors, pain receptors, in the same way that if you burnt yourself. So we recognize it as heat, but it doesn't actually raise the temperature. Like if you use the little COVID thermometer on your mouth after you've eaten chili, it's not any hotter than it was before. It just, we think it's hot, but it's not.
But so would they still feel the effects?
Well, it depends with COVID. Like there is a lot of different ways that you can lose what we call your sense of taste, and some of them aren't really taste at all. So you can get what's called anosmia, where you lose your sense of smell, and then you can still taste things. So you can still taste like salty, sweet, sour, bitter, yes, and umami, but you can't smell anything. And sometimes we think that that's a loss of taste. But there are many different ways with COVID of losing your sense of taste. Some of them you would lose the ability to sense anything in your mouth. Some of them you just lose the ability to smell. Some of them you'd lose the ability to taste.
Adam, I'm so sorry. I realize that your podcast is How Taste Changed the World, and I've turned the question into, Adam, explain COVID.
but we do talk a little bit about that in the podcast too, because we are speaking to taste scientists about, like, I guess, our sense of taste and what it does to us. And it's truly fascinating because, you know, we evolved from essentially fruit-eating apes. So the most important taste for us biologically is sweet and sour, because that's what fruit tastes like.
And so part of this podcast is teaching us that, but also how, when you say how to cook better, like recipes as well, or just little tricks that mean
it's
that
not,
we can enlighten those senses, those different tastes.
It's kind of teaching you how to cook more simply. So we talk to chefs like Ottolenghi and Dan Barber.
Your
and
guy,
things.
Tommy.
Yeah. Big Otter.
He loves
fan.
Him.
Yeah.
He loves Otter.
Yeah.
And
if
you get to kind of go into
days,
his kitchen
like
with this podcast, you know, and you get to stand there in Otter's kitchen. He explains to you what sits next to his stove and what he seasons with and that kind of thing. And that, I think, is a really great insight to have. I didn't have that until I did the podcast, so I was very glad to have that experience.
Adam, are you happy to stick around? Because my partner has told me about a lie that you've told that I am so intrigued about that I want to ask you about next. Can you hang around?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I always like to hang around and get in trouble.
We'll do more with Adam up next. You can check out his podcast, How Tastes Change the World, now.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, I'm on the other side of the world, Adam Liao, who is with us on the phone here now as well. And so I am not fully across what's been happening on Australian TV at the moment. But my partner has made a TV show that you host, a fabulous TV show called Tomorrow Tonight. And he's told me about some lie that you told about a footy team. I think some people may have already heard it, but I'm fascinated. Please tell me about this footy team that you made up.
Why is this all on me? I mean, this goes back about 20 years ago when we were very, very young baby lawyers working for law firms. And we started writing these soccer team match reports for this soccer team that we were playing in, this legal division. And it was every Monday we'd send reports around to the firm, like this is what happened at the game. You know, we beat that other law firm and we did really well and that kind of thing. The only problem with it was there wasn't really a soccer team and there wasn't really a league. We'd just kind of gotten into cahoots with some of the other young lawyers at other firms to kind of I don't know why, but invent this soccer team so that we could kind of get out of work a little bit earlier. So we could say on a Thursday night, like, oh, we've got the legal soccer tournament. We have to leave at 5 o'clock. In those days, we would work till like 2-3 in the morning kind of thing. And then one of the firms, not me, did do something a little bit bad, which was ask their social club, the firm social club, for some money for uniforms, which they then spent on beers.
No!
And so they got into a lot of trouble with their firm. I have to say, no one was actually defrauded by me or anything that I did, so I want to get myself off the hook a little bit there. But it was a funny thing that we did 20 years ago. And since
that
went
like,
away last
Mad
week.
Mad Mondays?
It was Mad March. We took the whole month.
Did you?
Sorry, what were you going to say about what happened after it aired? Has everyone been contacting you?
Well, you know, a lot of the young lawyers back in those days are now very senior lawyers at various firms, and they're like, "Did you seriously say that on television?" And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I thought we were all over. I thought that was kind of a cane out, but apparently not."
Did you give yourselves a cool name?
You know, I can't remember the name, but one of I won't mention his name, but he's a very senior lawyer at a very well-respected law firm. He's actually got the trophy up in his office still to this day.
That's crazy.
20 years ago.
Did you win every year or was it just one year?
We won every week. Come on, we were playing imaginary soccer by half.
Well, Tomorrow Tonight is on air tonight, but also check out Adam Liao's new Audible original podcast, How Taste Changed the World. It is out now. It is fascinating. Adam, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Tommy.
Carrie Bickmore.
And Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, that is where you're at this afternoon. There's still heaps more to come, the Savo guys.
I cannot believe. So we just had Adam Liao on, who has an amazing new podcast out at the moment called How Taste Changed the World. And you are obsessed with food at the moment.
Mm.
And you just told us something in the song. But why, in the break, why didn't you tell him when he was on?
But what am I going to say? Well, what I said to you was, I watch that man on TV more than anyone else on TV, and that's basically all I watch is Adam Liao shows.
That is a lovely thing to tell somebody.
But what do I say? And then what does he go? Thank you.
Well, what if someone said to you, I listen to you and watch your comedy shows more than anything, any other stuff, and I love it. How would you feel?
I'd say no photos. No. No,
I think you should get him back up. I want you to tell him that.
Now.
People need to hear things like that.
Okay, we're ringing.
I'm not talking. You have to do all the talking.
Oh, God.
Explain why we're
calling. Hey, Adam, I'm just calling you back.
Is that what I have to say?
Hello.
Adam, it's Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
Carrie has asked me to call you back because when you hung up the phone, I admitted something to her and she said that I should have just said it to you. So I apologize if this comes across as weird. I thought it would be weird. And that's why I didn't say it to you the first time. But here goes.
Okay. It's getting weird already.
I know. I shouldn't have started like that.
You've made this now so weird when you could have just said it really lovely, quickly, and we move on with our lives.
I just really love watching you on TV. I don't watch anyone more than you. Your shows are on so often on SBS Food. It's the only channel apart from, I'm obviously on Channel 10, so I have to say I watch that a lot too. But mate, I love The Cook Up, I love Hidden Japan, I love Destination Flavor, like Singapore, China. I love everything you've done, and keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you, Tommy. That's very kind of you, and please stop stalking me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Adam.
No, but if you ever want to come on The Cook Up, Tommy, please just let us know and we'd love to have you.
Oh, he would love to. I'm answering for him.
Yeah, no, we'll get you on, Tommy. That's brilliant.
But, bro, I genuinely, anyway, I've said it. I think you're the best.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Carrie Bickmore
and Tommy Little.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
You drive home this afternoon. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, producer Annabelle has stepped up to the microphone and I can see pictures of what appears to be a city overseas. Can I guess, Annabelle, is that a European city?
One of the pictures is.
Okay, is that Amsterdam?
One of the pictures is.
Are we talking about this because of the outrageous claims that Carrie made on this very radio show?
Yes.
About
They weren't outrageous. I was passing on information I was given while on a canal cruise.
You told us there was a house worth $600 million.
No, I didn't. I said people don't live along the canals because the property prices are so high. And he said one of them was worth $30 million, which is about $60 million Australian for this tiny little skinny house. But yes. He also said car parking, people don't car park. Have their own cars and drive their bike everywhere because car parking was something like $400 an hour.
Yeah, so we looked that up on the internet and it said it said between.
The internet's always right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we've got a message here. This is from one of our listeners. I don't know how you pronounce your name, so I'm going to go with Marsha Maria. Hello. And she says, hi, I'm from the Netherlands. And Carrie definitely got her numbers wrong. Parking downtown Amsterdam might be €6 to €8 an hour. Unlike Sydney, where I just paid 30 an hour. And houses in the Senate are not 60 million. They might be just as crazy as Sydney, but not more.
Well, you take that up with my tour guide, who was awesome, and we tipped him, and he's obviously given me wrong information.
Tipped him $60 million.
Because I got a message from a friend as well about this, because he really set people alight. And she messaged me and she said, hey, I do remember that when I did a tour in Amsterdam, they said that for every window pane in a house, it can add, if you're on the canal, it can have 100K in value. So maybe Carrie is onto something. And then I did the quick maths on that, and that means your 60 mil house would have to have 600 windows in it.
All looking at the canal.
All looking at the canal. No, in what you described as a teeny tiny house.
Oh my God, they're all small, okay? Yeah. Except for there's a hotel there that because they're not allowed to change the facade, again, giving you a fun fact from my little canal instructor.
Yeah. Canal gal.
That's not what it's called.
Canal instructor. Water, that way.
Apparently they can't change the facade, you know, like heritage listing. In fact, listing. I think it was something to do with the UNESCO heritage rules.
Yeah.
They can't change the facade. So there's one hotel there that has four properties, but they look like they're four different houses. And inside they're all connected, but from the outside it's four different doors to enter because you can't change the facade to make them one hotel.
That's cool.
It wasn't as fun a fact.
No, that was cool. What do you reckon to the four houses? What do you reckon they're worth together? 400 mil or something?
At least 200. Anyway, what did you want to discuss other than telling me I'm wrong?
It's time to do this.
G'day, the guys want to know. They'd like to check in. It's Carrie and Tommy's. What do you reckon?
Reckon. Annabelle, are we talking parking?
Yes, we are. So we're talking, what do you reckon the most expensive car park in the world is?
Great. And so
oh, my God, that's funny you say that. I saw one today online.
What is
there that? Was one. There's one in
you
London.
Saw a car park online.
What, yeah, I saw an article.
What are you searching, mate?
No, there's.
Oh
there's
God!
Car
you know when you browse and you get down a wormhole.
Harrods in yes. London, yeah. In Knightsbridge, where the car once you park in this parking spot, the car literally touches the walls of the car park. In fact, I don't even know how you would get out of your car. It's that tiny.
Is it a lift?
And it's going for 80. No, I don't think so.
Okay,
it's going for £85,000. So that's what, like 100 and.
But you mean to buy the car park?
$150 Australian. Yes, to buy the car park.
$150 Australian.
$150,000. That's great. So that would be up there with one of the most expensive car parks of all time.
Bill means not to buy, I think.
Oh,
you buy mean to, and rent.
To buy a car park.
Yeah.
This is weird. So it's basically where is land the most expensive in the world.
Anyway, I think that's pretty expensive, 150 grand for a couple of square metres.
Well, I reckon you would spend more than that on to buy a car park in Sydney's CBD.
Do you think?
Would be more.
Well, they say sometimes it's more than the price of a house in Sydney.
So hang on.
You're not into this, are you?
No, no. I'm confused. I'm trying to think where would be the most expensive to buy.
New
are
York?
You looking to buy one, Bell?
Yeah.
New York, because Manhattan. That's got to be right, doesn't it? And what do you reckon it'd go for? I reckon there'd be $1 million car park out there.
Do you think?
Yeah.
What, for, like, is in
know.
A really expensive building?
Yeah, maybe with a good view.
No, I reckon it might be London because.
Say if you think what you could rent it out for, right? So I reckon you could rent a car park out for $70,000, maybe for a year. If it's in an incredible building, you're right, where there's only uber rich people. And so then, say if it's $1 million, it's only what, 13 years or something, 14 years, and you've got your money back on your investment. I think that's pretty good.
I'm going to say New York, then London.
Great. And how much are you guessing?
And I'm guessing, well, if this one was near Harrods and that's in a nice spot, I reckon 500,000 is the most expensive car park.
Great. Belle, how did we go?
Okay, you're way off.
Oh,
the most expensive car park was $1.9 million.
Damn. Oh, my
God. In Hong Kong.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I had two beers there and it was $170. What? I should have known.
And then in terms of hourly parking, New York is the most expensive, up to $45 an hour.
No, nah, not compared to Amsterdam.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show. Now that the podcast is over, Carrie and Tommy are free to check out the Chemist Warehouse half price sale. Get big brand vitamins and cosmetics for half price. Terms and conditions apply. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.